Hi, Anna.
Hi, Andrew.
And hey, everybody else.
And welcome to our podcast,
Scary Stories to tell on the pod.
It is a funny, scary podcast about scary things you tell us about that happened or that you pretended happened. they're about urban legends. It's us chatting. We've been friends for 16 years? 17?
Yeah, really approaching 17.
Oh, that's a whole... That's almost a whole third grader.
It's approaching 18.
No.
We met in 2006.
Uh-oh.
This is scary. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Our son is grown. Soon.
Our son being a popsicle we once bought in 2006.
That's right.
Is now fully of voting age.
He is.
Anna, how's your week?
It's good. It feels like this is the week that someone turned Hollywood back on.
Yes,
so me and all my friends are like happier than we've ever been to be like ticky typing on something we hate.
I know.
Which is so nice.
I know. Like just thrilled to have meetings with people who dead-eyed look you in the face and say like, so what are you passionate about? Like, you know.
Yeah.
And if you are a development exec listening to this podcast, I'm not talking about you.
They're not.
Yeah, they're really not.
The idea of them doing that is... Really funny.
I had a general with someone who was like, I love your podcast. I was so excited to see that I was meeting with you today. And that person is now no longer working in development.
Right.
They really changed. They really changed careers during the pandemic.
Their eyes go in opposite directions until there's a famous person and then they focus really hard. that's fun.
Did anything scary happen to you this week?
I found out my neighbor died.
Oh,
I've been texting her. This whole time.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I told her the last text I have from her, I just found out today that she died.
Oh.
I texted her a week after she died to say, hey, just so you know, I saw a lethargic squirrel on your front lawn.
Oh, boy.
He had a lump on his back. Googled it. Looks like squirrel pox, which is not... It's transmissible, but not deadly. Just wanted you to have an eye out in case the dogs got at it or something.
Oh.
I realized, oh, I haven't seen her for a long time, and she usually texts me back about squirrel stuff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
This really is about me,
yeah,
ultimately.
Yeah. Well, but she might have gotten squirrel pox.
Yeah. But it's funny because this is the second neighbor who's passed away on my block since we moved in 2 years ago.
Oh, boy.
And... Now I'm like, is there something wrong with the block?
Sure. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because that's not a bad... The odds aren't that bad. That's
no.
A big block.
No.
Yeah.
That shows you what kind of life I've had that I'm like, two people died in 2 years on a block with 80 people on it? Well, something with the phone lines.
That sending a text to someone who died a week ago is very scary.
Yeah, something there.
How
about you, Andrew?
Well,
or what were you about to say?
I was about to say something else, but it probably isn't important. The gist of that is one time my mom was visiting and she was like, oh, I forgot I have to mail a card to someone. I was like, I'll mail it. And I forgot to mail it for like a year. And then I found it and I was like, oh my gosh, I'll mail it. And I did. And I told my mom, I'm like, I'm so sorry I did this. Contact the person. And she was like, it was a get well card for someone who did die. And she was like, but it's fine.
Oh, no. You sent a taunt to their next of kin.
Yeah, full year later. But they must have... I mean, my mom's
hope
like,
you bounce back from this one, you dumb bitch. I'd like to see you crawl out of your grave.
But that was my scary thing that happened this week. The rumors and legends are true. Anna and Jason and Chris and some friends and I, we did go to Disneyland this week.
We did.
And the scary thing for me was that the Haunted Mansion still had the... Nightmare Before Christmas overlay on it, which I was like, nothing makes me more sick than Christmas in mid to late January.
Christmas on January 17th?
A sick joke.
That is, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And don't make me look at it.
Yeah, we got to get rid of that.
I also have to say that I don't want to disparage anyone who's trying to make a buck, but that the copy for the Nightmare Before Christmas recording was not very good.
We need to revisit.
I wanted to rewrite it, and I also didn't want it to be like that. I felt lucky. I was like, oh, this is cool. It's like a different thing. But it goes back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago. You don't want to see a pumpkin in snow.
No, it feels wrong.
No.
Also,
that's get your shit together.
Snow is a pumpkin's natural enemy. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's just going to make it wetter. Easier on the squirrels with squirrel's pox.
Squirrel pox.
Squirrel's pox.
Squirrel's pox news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind. Let's just move on. Anna... I'm really delighted to return to maybe just one of my favorite, maybe nobody else's, subgenres of this podcast, which is the Icons of Hoor.
Icons of Hoor.
And I don't know what possessed me, Anna, but instantly when it came to recording today, I was like, I want to research Gremlins. And I'll tell you what, I did not the film, just the concept of Gremlins.
There's a lot more to Gremlins than just what Hollywood put in that movie. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. The erasure of early 20th century Gremlins, which, Anna, the most mind-blowing thing, just before I get into any research at all, Gremlins are a 20th century invention.
No.
Yes.
It sounds like a Middle English word.
So it is a Middle English word.
Oh my God. Did I get this right?
Yes. Gremya it means to vex.
Gremya these nuts,
classically. And that it is unclear how they ended up being called gremlins. There are thoughts that it's a combination of gremya and goblin.
Sure. Like
a thing that's meant to annoy you.
Yeah.
There also, I think, was a popular beer company called Fremlin, and that they combined that with Grem, which doesn't feel airtight to me. But I just want to, I'm going to use some research that I found from an Atlas Obscura article by Hadley Mears, and then an episode of that YouTube documentary series Monstrum, which I've talked about before, which I love so much.
Andrew, I'm thrilled that you're telling us about Gremlins.
It felt really nice to do some research on something, and the fact that it was Gremlins felt even better.
Correct.
But yeah, that series Monstrum is like a PBS series about monsters, sometimes like classic monsters and sometimes really niche folklore monsters, which I love.
Sorry. I just tried to burp really quietly off mic, and me trying to control the burp made seltzer come up and go in my brain.
That's a gremlin.
I was making hard eye contact with Andrew as he was telling me about gremlins, and I guess from your perspective, it looked like I was dying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A bit of both. Yeah.
I bet it's not real. Sorry, everyone.
But that YouTube series Monstrum is like a PBS documentary series hosted by Dr. Emily Zilka, and I really love it. You should check it out if you haven't already. And then, of course, our favorite book, Wikipedia. So, as I said, gremlins, as far as folklorists can tell, are an invention of the 20th century. Use of the term in the sense of a mischievous creature that sabotages aircraft first arose in the Royal Air Force as slang among British pilots stationed in Malta, the Middle East, and India in the 1920s. Isn't that crazy that it's that recent?
That's insane.
It's like a 100-year-old invention.
So this is just pilots talking to each other?
Yeah. And like, certainly you can see the influence, like the origins of gremlins most likely stem from stories of fairies or the fae folk of English, Irish, Welsh, and Scottish folklore. And that stuff goes back to like the 1600s. And fae folk includes like leprechauns, elves, brownies, imps, basically like little mysterious creatures.
Brownies?
Have you ever heard brownies before?
The like baby Girl Scouts?
Yeah, I think it's named after like little kind of fairy people who live in nature.
Okay, anyone who's listening to the podcast, raise your hand if you've heard of brownies before in a spooky context. Go ahead, Andrew. What is the brownies?
They live in nature, and they can either be helpful or harmful, depending on how respectful you are to the forest.
It sounds like a fairy, yeah.
Yeah.
Fae folk.
Fae folk. And that basically like, these are creatures who are sometimes used to scare and sometimes used to comfort. They're kind of like spirits. You know, it's that vague of a term.
Cool.
So fae folk were long used to explain away the unexplainable, the unfortunate, and were firmly cemented in the cultural dialogue of Western Europe in the early 20th century. And at that time, human beings took to the skies. So it only makes sense that we'd have to make up a new form of fae folk to like exist in this new space that was on the forefront of everyone's minds.
Yeah.
And as aviators navigated these new uncertain technologies and an unfamiliar environment, lots of things could and would go wrong. And it was perhaps comforting to have a mystical scapegoat take the blame for the myriad of disasters that could befall a pilot, especially during wartime, which is why the prominence of gremlins came in World War I and then expanded in World War II. The very first rumblings of what we now know as the gremlin came from members of the British Royal Air Force during World War I. According to the British magazine The Spectator in 1917, British forces, quote, detected the existence of a horde of mysterious and malicious spirits whose purpose in life was to bring about mishaps that trouble an airman's life.
Who said that?
The Spectator, which was a prominent British magazine. We're not, newspapers aren't doing it like they used to.
They're not saying like ghost happened.
Right. There's a new ghost, everybody. Buckle up. Yeah.
You're not going to believe this.
Some of these references were tongue in cheek, but then multiple Allied pilots began filing actual reports that they had seen groups of small, hairless, sharp-toothed, gray-skinned, red-eyed creatures about a foot tall, often armed with scissors or hammers, attempting to snip wires or damage instruments outside of the plane.
Oh, no.
I hate that description. Really spooked me.
Yeah, that sounds like something that could be real.
And I really dislike this next one. Other accounts describe them as being owl-like and having horns and claws, and that they were known to do manic little jigs while putting pilots' lives at risk.
This is something you don't want to see on a plane, is someone doing a jig.
You absolutely do not want to see.
You don't want to see any kind of dance. A jig is number one on the what I don't want to see.
Because that's celebratory. And one must wonder, what are you celebrating?
There's a lot of jumping in a jig.
Yeah, my gosh. Don't twirling jump. Around, finger on top of the head. And that the only way to shake them was to do some fancy flying, which includes like barrel rolls and flips and stuff like that. Which, as I read that, I was like, this is just an excuse for pilots to do something wild.
Yeah, it feels like they wanted to be fun.
Yeah.
And then they had to pretend that they saw a real ghost.
I saw a little owl man. He was trying to snip my wires, so I did a barrel roll.
Like, that's not going to end the conversation any faster than I felt like it.
Yeah, can you just imagine, like, an old, like, I don't know, not admiral. What are the higher-ups in the Air Force called?
Sky Admiral.
They have big white mustaches. Just being like, very good. Hop, hop. Yep. Like, onward. Hop, hop, hop. And also, another weird one is that a lot of the like legend was that gremlins lived in beer bottles, which I was like, this is a little on the nose.
And pilots are famously booze hounds.
Getting a little turnt.
Getting a little turnt because they're having fun. They're sitting down at work. That's the thing about pilots. They're always sitting.
There's no traffic. What are they going to hit up there?
Yeah, you know? They're feeling too good.
So early on, the gremlins were thought to have had enemy sympathies. Because it was the Royal Air Force, so they were like, oh, these must be, as they described them, Hun gremlins, which is a term for German gremlins.
Hun gremlins?
Hun gremlin looking for same? Hun, H-U-N.
Scissor holder looking for hammer holder. Jigs welcome, can host.
And so there were like all these stories about whether the gremlins had roots in Germany or Japan, but then Axis forces also seemed to suffer from inexplicable plane malfunctions where planes would just fall out of the sky. And it became clear to everybody that if gremlins exist, they have only allegiance to themselves, that they're not playing sides here.
Yeah. Is that more comforting or less comforting?
I guess it's like, I'm more comforted to think of a tornado as just being a tornado and not that it's like North Korea's tornado.
That's so funny because I had the opposite, like hearing that it wasn't aligned with anyone, that it was just that you can't bargain with it.
Oh, wow. That is scary. You're right.
They're just this like wild card.
That's the fastest my mind's ever been changed. but not all gremlin encounters were negative. Stories circulated of a pilot struggling through low visibility, only to notice a gremlin crawling up his windshield, making pointed eye contact, and mouthing the words, "You're upside down, you silly fathead." Now, not to bring it back to gay stuff.
Not to bring it back to Alec Baldwin.
Oh my God. The gremlin is Alec Baldwin leaving a voicemail on his daughter's phone.
Oh my God.
I think it's so wild to see someone mouth fathead and to be like, he's calling me a fathead.
Yeah, that's not what he's saying, the F slur.
We know he's saying the F slur. I hate
you're upside down, you silly.
You silly F slur.
I do think if he's fey folk, he's allowed to.
I think so too. It depends on the pilot, depends on the gremlin.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
You're upside down. Wow.
The gremlin was reclaiming it. The myth grew to be a marketing tool for the British wartime propaganda machine. Posters cautioned servicemen and women of all branches to avoid gremlins by checking their equipment, operating their planes and machinery responsibly, and staying on high alert.
Okay, that's cute.
They're very cute. Here are some of my favorite poster slogans. Gremlins think it's fun to hurt you. Use care always. Gremlins will push you around. Look where you're going.
Okay.
Gremlins love to pitch things at your eyes. Wear safety goggles. I love this. Is I think if I become a parent, all of my life lessons are going to be told through gremlin form.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Gremlins love to pitch things at your eyes. Right. Drink your homework. Juice. Yeah.
So these stories became very popular in the UK and then jumped the pond. And Americans really began to love them, mainly because celebrated children's author Roald Dahl wrote a book called The Gremlins. And I really love this plot story. And I'm kind of shocked that it hasn't been made into a movie. It's that the gremlins are angry about industrialization in the UK. And they think that what's responsible for it is like these planes. Like their home is destroyed by like the building of an Air Force base. So they're like, well, we're going to down all these planes. Well, then the British explain to them, like, we're sorry, we're going to build you a new home, but it's in your best interest to fight the Nazis with us. And the gremlins immediately get on board and they're like, yep, great, drop me, like, drop all of us down in Germany and we'll start destroying things from the inside. And so the book is about gremlins starting to screw up Nazi Germany, which I think is very fun.
That's cute.
And Walt Disney bought the rights to that story and was in the process of making a feature film based on it. But instead made a series of comic books, which were very popular. Eleanor Roosevelt, it was one of her favorite books. She read to her grandchildren.
No way.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It is kind of a cute, like, little bit of, like, wartime propaganda, but in a cute way.
I know. We didn't have anything cute after 9/11.
No.
It really was a lot. Well, there was a Spider-Man comic where he went to Ground Zero, and I remember that being like, oh,
what?
My God.
I mean, yeah. That kind of makes sense. He lives...
Yeah,
Queens.
But I remember there was a part of it where Dr. Doom was also there, and that Dr. Doom cried because it was so sad. And I was like, I don't know that Dr. Doom would cry.
Jason is nodding so hard his headphones are going to come off. Wow. Yeah, I knew that there's a gremlin in the Twilight Zone.
Yes. So, episode. Yeah,
I didn't realize that they were specific to planes. I thought they were like a fish out of water.
I also had no idea about this. And I also, how that gremlin looked, I was like, oh, that kind of is the description. And that gremlin is kind of doing a jig.
God, you're right.
He's floating around.
I thought it was just random as hell.
Well, and then they made the 80s Twilight Zone movie with John Lithgow, which wrecked my shit up, Anna, as a kid.
Too scary?
That movie was on the Superstation like one every four Saturdays when I was a kid. And it's like, you'd be like, oh, it's rated PG, I'll tune in. And that gremlin is too scary. But even scarier is John Lithgow's face of panic when he sees the gremlin.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Then also there's the classic Joe Dante, Steven Spielberg movie, Gremlins.
Sure.
Which began as kind of something based on the Roald Dahl story, but it clearly became something entirely different. Which is like a picture-perfect town at Christmas time being besieged.
Right. It's sort of like a plane. I don't know if you are aware of this, but I did take a commercial acting class with Zach Galligan, who mm-hmm. is the oh, teen yeah. young boy. He's Billy in yeah. Gremlins.
Big crush on Billy when I was a kid.
Very crush-worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. His advice was... when you go into a commercial audition, the thing that books it for you is you should act like really casual.
Good.
Like it's not, wow, this is the best phone in the world. It's yeah. I don't know. I guess it works. It's fine, I guess. And he would do that. We were all like, this man knows what he's doing.
Coolest man alive.
And then he showed up to our end of the year party.
Oh my God.
I was like, whoa.
That's always a twist, right?
Zach Galligan's here. This is exciting.
Yeah, I wonder, because he was also in a scary movie that I liked a lot when I was younger called Waxwork, which is he goes to a haunted wax museum and he like falls into the displays and then they're real around him.
Oh, yeah. Sounds awful.
It's pretty spooky.
Do the wax things turn into actors?
So you go into the wax display and then suddenly you're in like a new universe. So
I see,
like,
okay.
So like there's, but the crazy thing is was like, the Wolfman, Dracula, Frankenstein, Murat Saad, like, or the Marquis de Sade. I was like, whoa, we're jumping really from thing to thing here.
I would love that movie if it were like Tyra Banks, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Tyra Banks being like, everyone, this photo shoot, you're going to be a different ethnicity from yourself. And you're like, no!
Have you seen cameras? They're filming you.
I can't say no. That we should do a whole episode about
oh my God,
America's Next Top Model.
And if you say no, that means you don't have what it takes to be a model.
Yeah. Remember the one where she was like, hi everybody. Gosh, I'm just really tired. And then she faked fainting. And then she like came out. She was like, I tricked you. And was like, we're Singapore. Like, it was so crazy. So many things were happening.
Yeah, she was teaching them about acting.
Yeah.
She did a similar thing on her talk show where it was around Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, sorry, guys, I don't feel well. I got bit by a dog on the way here. Anyway, and then she started being like, oh, no, I need to sit down, and started foaming at the mouth, and then started running around going, like she was rabid.
That's right. Although I would sort of live for if she really did begin her show by saying, I've had a weird day, I got bit by a dog. Anyway, Hillary Duff is here. Yeah.
That's
No,
she's not.
No,
stop
she's
telling people she's here. That's the dog that bit you.
She's in a padded cell.
Oh my God.
And then yeah, so the Joe Dante film really like popular. Oh, there was also a Looney Tunes cartoon of Gremlins where it was like Gremlins versus Bugs Bunny. And in that one, they were like, oh yeah, some reports of Gremlins said they wear top hats.
Some are fancy
clothes.
Yeah.
Fancy
Grems.
But that they can speak English, because a lot of people would talk about, oh, I read this one story about a report that that a pilot was in his plane and he heard two little voices arguing, oh, saying like, no, that's never going to cut through it. Like, you don't know anything. And then it was like, you have to use big scissors like this. And then his radar went out.
I think this is just a story about like some sort of noxious fume.
Well, that's another big theory behind Gremlins.
Yeah.
Is that gas fumes when you're on the ground, and then when you take off, there's not as much oxygen up there. And so people would begin to hallucinate.
Oh, that
and
makes
that
sense.
What would be fresh in their head was people working on the Air Force Base, many of whom would be carrying around scissors or hammers or things like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they were on the outside of a small fighter plane or whatever, they'd
right.
have to be small little things.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That does connect to something that I do want to talk about.
What's that?
Or is it just a brief sort of growth,
please,
on the conversation, which is that so many people responded to our episode from last week about your
yes I know I'm
weird
sorry everybody
mannequin bald man
right.
Andrew hallucinated not a ghost, which is a ghost, but he says it's more like a mannequin. Yeah. So many people reached out to say how scared they were by it, and then my friend Ever Maynard messaged me to say that they had a similar thing.
No way.
And that it turned out to be a gas leak.
Oh my God.
Yeah, let me see.
I
had a custodian at my last apartment. A medium said he was there to keep me / the house safe. Little did I know there was a months long gas leak. Literally kept us safe.
Oh.
they're suing their landlord and they had to do an emergency move. Oops.
Yeah. Hauntings are often credited to gas leaks.
Yeah.
Especially when they are accompanied by like a sense of impending doom. Isn't
yeah.
that crazy? That one of the signs of gas poisoning is a feeling like something is wrong. I'm going to die.
It's amazing that our body knows how to turn like physiological realities into feelings that we can kind of get on board with.
I know.
That's like our red blood cells. It's the carbon monoxide is replacing where the oxygen would go.
Whoa.
So it's like, that's really bad because we need oxygen, famously.
Yeah.
And it translates that into, oh, I feel bad.
I had a very, in college, and I feel like this happens almost exclusively with college boys, of like, I really got to clean my apartment. Time to mix ammonia and bleach, like, which is mustard gas.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I remember being like, I'm cleaning, I'm really tired, and I feel bad. Like,
yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I made a weapon of war.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Just trying to wipe this damn toilet.
Speaking of which, I don't know if there's any chemists or cleaning supply experts out there in the gentle listenerhood, but the Mr. Clean Magic Erasers, which have no chemicals on them, says, like, do not use with bleach, which I'm like, I wonder why.
It's interesting. I wonder if it just breaks down the material.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, that makes sense. I thought it was something more nefarious.
I feel like every subreddit I'm in, someone brings up the Mr. Clean Magic Eraser and how you can buy the cheaper base substance and just cut it up.
I know. That is nice to know.
That's the answer for weddings, homeowners.
Also, I saw a TikTok today that if you've had kombucha in a glass bottle in your fridge for too long, you've got to burp it, which I didn't know what that was. Because otherwise it can explode and it almost severed a woman's ring finger.
No.
Yeah. She's okay.
That's for her husband. She needs that.
What else do I have to say about Gremlins? Oh, just that the Joe Dante movie like created the hard connection to Japanese culture, which I think has been reexamined now as being like problematic and
right, that they were like, oops, they're from Japan.
Yeah, yeah. And that now I believe there is a new Gremlins series that is headed by a largely Asian team to kind of relook at that. That's so it's cool. Not like trickster things from Asia. Like, that's probably not great.
How does the gremlin get to where they are in the movie? Is it like they buy it at a toy store or something?
Zach Galligan's dad is a traveling salesman, and he goes into like a Japanese like mystical shop and tries to buy a Mogwai, tries to buy Gizmo the Mogwai.
Okay.
And the owner of the shop is like an old man who's like, no, it's too dangerous. It's too much of a responsibility. But his son is like, we're so poor, we have no money. And he secretly sells Gizmo to the dad.
Wow.
Who then brings him back. And then at the end of the movie, the shop owner comes back and is like, give me Gizmo. You can't handle it.
Wow. That's so sad. Selling the family at the store pet.
I know. I know. There was that huge lawsuit against Furbies. That claimed that they stole the look of Gizmo the Mogwai.
Well, they did.
And they sure did, yeah.
I thought you were going to say that they were filming for the Russians with the camera in their forehead, which is what I have realized now is probably not true. It's just a thing we told each other. Did that rumor make its way to you?
I don't know that I heard that rumor.
Yeah, we heard that Furbies, they have like a little sensor between their eyes that's shaped like a cloud. And the rumor went around that it was filming you for the Russians.
Oh, my God.
Which, like, for why? It's 1998.
I never owned a Furby, but one time in high school, I went to my friend Ben Davis's house, and we went in his room during his birthday, and his Furby inexplicably said, party! And it was, at the time, the scariest thing I've ever heard, because it hadn't worked in forever.
Because it was, like, 3 p.m. on a Tuesday, and it's like, girl... Slow down.
Her name was Rebecca the Furby. We were like, Rebecca, please. You have work tomorrow. You're a preschool teacher.
It's not cute or funny. We're just worried.
Party.
Party. That is something I feel like a gremlin in the movie Gremlins would say.
Oh, yeah.
Do they talk or they just go like...
They, bah, bah, bah. Well, the first movie, like they can repeat things and they occasionally say something like one word that's scary.
I like that.
But then in the second one, they get much more communicative and one of them takes like a potion that makes him super smart. And I believe he talks with Tony Randall's voice, who played Felix Unger in the Odd Couple TV series.
Wow. And he's
like, I would love to talk about... And in retrospect, I hate to admit, I had kind of a crush on Smart Gremlin.
Smart.
He had glasses. He wore a suit.
Smart. I love that they all have different personalities, too.
Yeah, yeah. That one, there's the amazing Key and Peele sketch about, like, all the different... There's, like, a girl gremlin. There's, a incredibly sexy girl gremlin.
Oh, smart. I'm Googling smart gremlin.
Yeah.
The brain gremlin.
Right.
Oh, I don't like his look at all. He looks mean.
Well, can I see it? Just, I want to make sure you're judging him fairly. Yeah, no, he looks pretty mean there. I don't know. I think
looks like the guy you date when you're 24.
And
you're
did.
He's smart and interesting. Yeah. And all your friends are like, he's so mean to you.
And you know what? I think the first like guy I ever went on more than one date with was kind of Smart Gremlin. And I realized I got to get out of here.
Oh, man. This guy definitely lives in New York.
Yeah. And he's always like, he's, you know, oh, and then the kind of climactic scene in Gremlins 2 is all the gremlins sing New York, New York.
They singing go, or sing it? Okay. Kind of like that. They're doing a jig.
And that was their form of a jig. But Gremlins really scared me very much as a kid. A lot of people describe it as the first horror movie they've ever seen.
Right.
Because it was a PG Christmas movie, but a ton of people die.
Christmas? Really?
Yeah.
Like neighbors and stuff?
Yeah. A little old lady gets on for older people or people who have trouble climbing stairs, the chair that you sit on and they go up.
Oh, yeah.
The gremlins mess with it, and then it launches her out of the roof. And she dies. And then a chemistry teacher gets his head eaten, I think. And
they use
a snowplow to try to kill somebody.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And then an actress who plays Zach Galligan's mom has to put a gremlin down at their garbage disposal. That's very scary.
Is that Beverly Mitchell? No.
Beverly Mitchell. Maybe. I don't know.
It's fine.
I was thinking of Bev Mitchell, who used to run our school, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
Was Bev in Gremlins?
No, I'm dumb. I don't know anyone's name. Sorry, everyone.
That's okay.
Jonathan Banks is in it from Breaking Bad, and Howie Mandel is the voice of Gizmo.
I know. To this day, sometimes if someone turns a light on and I'm not expecting it, I do instinctively say, bright light, bright light, which is what Gizmo says, and it's very cute.
Wow. Unbelievable.
And that's the history of Gizmo and Gremlins and everything.
Thank you, Andrew.
You're very welcome.
Wow. Think about that. Try that in a small town.
And you know what the Gremlins did? And they learned their lesson.
They did.
And then they tried it again in a city, and that was the second movie.
No, that's not what they should do.
Hulk Hogan fights the Gremlins in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah, it's hard.
That's tough. Andrew, if you were a gremlin, what would be a little impish thing you'd do to mess with a plane?
Well, I wouldn't want to hurt anybody, but I think a little inconvenient thing I would do is maybe I'd make the incredibly difficult to find the end of the toilet paper in the bathroom.
That's silly.
You're just sitting there spinning it and spinning it and spinning it and being like, it has to be here somewhere and I can't find the seam.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
How about you?
Two options. One, if I were a scissors gremlin, I would pop holes in the all the cranberry juices.
Oh my god.
Because when you're excited when they have it, but then if they start pouring it and it was pouring out of the back of it too, you'd be like, well, I can't drink this, it was open. If I were a hammer's gremlin,
yes,
I would bang on whatever the panel by the front of the plane that controls all the TV screens. I would break that.
Oh, wow.
So that everyone would have to like talk to each other.
Really inconvenient.
Yeah.
Oh, nightmare.
That would be, I'm not saying that I think that that's good. I'm saying if you're looking for a way to like mess with people, would really get it.
There are two genders and they are scissor gremlin and hammer gremlin.
Yeah. Do you identify with one or the other?
I think, you know what's weird? I would not think this, but I feel it deep in my core that I think I'm hammer gremlin. Because I think a hammer is like, I don't have a specific job to do, but if someone's walking by, I can be like, clank, 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 clank. Like, I really got to get to hammering this. Whereas scissors, that implies this is someone with a more specialized skill at precision.
With a plan. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm hammer gremlin too.
Yeah. I think we both are probably hammer gremlins.
Yeah.
But I think we're in relationships with scissor gremlins.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris is scissor gremlin because he as a composer, he does a lot of editing, a lot of snipping.
Exactly.
I'm sure his cursor turns into a pair of scissors.
Right. Yeah.
Depending on what program he's using. And Jason grew up working on Cars, which as I understand it, is just a lot of snipping.
Yeah, I know. And And is producing this very podcast. So
is
a lot of scissoring work.
He's scissoring. Oh my God, Jason. Should we go home and scissor tonight?
Yeah. Just on top of the wedding cake, just a little hammer and scissor, and all the relatives from Long Island are like, oh, I don't know.
Oh.
It's Adam and Eve, not scissor and hammer.
That is what it is.
That is what it is. That is, scissor and hammer is very non-binary because you're like, what do we think is going on here?
Yeah. Also, scissor and hammer sounds like one of those salons in Highland Park that's like haircuts and another business.
Yes.
Like a hardware store. Oh my God, a hardware store barbershop.
Oh my God.
Someone come to me.
Someone come to me.
With money so we can do this.
The other question I have is who people talk about goblin mode. What is going gremlin mode?
Oh my God. That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I think the most obvious, the most literal interpretation of gremlin mode is when you hop around on a plane on the,
like, oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Specifically on the, I would say the front window of the plane.
And when you delight in making someone's plane ride a little difficult.
And you're like doing a jig.
Yeah.
I think gremlin mode, like, I guess like goblin mode sexually is,
right.
Is what, it, yeah, that's what it is. I would say gremlin mode sexually is when you do a jig. When you're doing it.
And again, you have to put your finger on your head.
You have to put your finger on your head because otherwise no one will know where your head is.
Yeah.
And they won't know where to look.
Gremlin mode.
What do you think it is?
I think that makes a lot of sense to me. I think maybe gremlin mode is when you are taking delight in something going a little bit wrong that you had a hand in.
Yeah.
If we're talking about in the bedroom, maybe it has to do with if someone is like, this part of my body is very sensitive in like a way that's like a fun thing.
Yeah.
And you keep kind of like tickling. Pushing that button. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That definitely, I could see that.
It doesn't involve scissors or hammers.
It doesn't.
A hammer in the bedroom.
A hammer. It's. Yeah. Think about that. Try that.
Think about that.
Think about that in a small town. I just had another thought for gremlin mode. Which is, this is a non-sexual one, but I do think it's relatable.
Good.
It's going to meet people where they are. I don't know if this, I don't know if anyone else gets like this, but when I'm really, really sleepy and, or like cranky and someone is like, Jason is doing everything he can. Like it's when you're being baby and someone's like, would you like this or that? And you be cranky back at them a little bit because you're a baby.
Right.
That's like. I think of that as like you're trying to sabotage what's going on.
That is
when I try to think of like, when do I sabotage aside from myself? I lean on a the side of a house and it falls over. Like they're trying to make you happy and you're, am I toxic?
No. I know that feeling. It's when, right. I think that's a pretty common dynamic, right? Of like when you're in a bad mood and someone recognizes it. And you're not ready to be out of a bad mood just yet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave me to my crank.
Leave me to my crank.
Don't wrest me from my crank hole.
There was also, I guess another thing about gremlin mode is like goblins are kind of aggressive and gremlins are a little more passive or not passive. They're a little more undercover being a jerk.
Yeah, they're not. Goblins believe in it. They're lost in the sauce. Gremlins are like, I just clock in, I clock out.
Yeah. Goblins were at January 6th. Gremlins were texting about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trying to get a ride, but not really.
Right, right. Did we just lose 4 followers? We're like, I enough.
They're all scissor gremlins. Yeah. Bye. Wow.
But yeah, gentle listeners, let us know. Do you identify as a hammer gremlin or scissor gremlin?
God, I wonder what the split will be.
Yeah, I'm curious about it.
We should do a poll.
Oh, we're definitely doing a poll.
Okay.
That's what polls are for.
That's what polls are for.
That's what polls are for.
For gremlins.
Yes.
For scissors.
Anna, I think that's it.
I think so as well.
And everybody else,
get out.